Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to a special edition of the UAW Factory Whistle Show, but it's called Rapping Riley, and I love that. That's awesome. Made me laugh when I seen it. It's great. I think we have Stephanie. Are you here?
I'm here. Hi, Don.
Hi, how you doing? We have Scott and Jean on with you.
Awesome. Hi, guys.
Hi, lady.
Hi, Steph.
Thanks for offering to do this for us tonight. I appreciate that. I don't know how many members will call in on such short notice, but we'll see what happens. And if not, we can just chat amongst ourselves and they can listen to it later.
That's right. That's right. We have a lot of downloads. So you're running for president. Who are you running against, by the way?
I'm running against Eddie Pickett. He is currently, I don't really know what he's currently doing, but he has been committee in our plant for quite some time. And I don't know, 15, 20 years. Shock at large. I mean, he's held quite a few positions there with the committee.
Yeah, I remember Eddie. I remember Eddie.
Yeah. You remember him, huh? That long ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't been retired that long. And by the way, retirees that I've contacted, you can also vote in this election.
Yeah.
You sure can. Come to the hall. I'll be there.
Okay, great.
We're
voting from 6 a.m. on the 20th, February 20th, until 6 a.m. February 21st. The hall will be open the entire time.
Okay. Well, I'll be there. That's for sure. And all the retirees, let's get together and we can have coffee afterwards.
That sounds good. Maybe I can join you.
No,
probably not.
But yeah, I think you'll probably be busy in the plant somewhere.
Yeah, I've been there. I was in the plant all day today. I did finally get my flyers and stuff in. I don't know why we're doing this so fast. Usually there's some time in between the election and the sign-up period. We just announced the candidates, I believe, Thursday last week.
Right.
And so we have a week to get our stuff ordered and campaign. So it's kind of rushed, it feels like.
Oh, yeah.
But I finally got I was out in trim on first and second shift, and I left to come back and do the show, but I'm going to head back out there afterwards. And try to make it around to everybody. It's not easy with five buildings and 5,000 members, but we do the best we can.
That's hard. That's a hard job. Scott, you know all about that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we did it the last time. I got a question for you, Steph. Didn't Eddie resign his shop committee at large to do what he's doing now?
I believe it was last May, the chairman announced at the union meeting that Eddie Pickett was going to be our new joint activities rep. Mike Robinson, who was the joint activities rep before him, was retiring and Eddie was going to take over. And they announced Eddie's replacement at that meeting as well for committee. And then, fast forward to December, the union calendars, and that usually has all the elected people on it and all the appointed DOC 46 jobs on there. And I noticed that the joint activities rep was still Mike Robinson. And I had mentioned something to my team leader. I said, that's kind of weird. I thought Eddie was our joint activities rep. And he said, yeah, I thought that too. That's kind of weird. You know, we didn't really do anything or ask anything about it. Just thought it was kind of strange, but maybe it was a typo or whatever. Well, then they announced that he was going to be running for president. And so at the next union meeting, I asked if Eddie Pickett was our joint activities rep, because if you're the joint activities rep and you want to run for the executive board, you have to resign.
Correct.
And so I was curious, and our chairman said that meeting, and he said it's Mike Robinson, and I said, well, I thought that he had retired, and our chairman said, well, he was supposed to, but he's waiting for the SAP, and he's been kind of dragging his feet, and he hasn't left yet. So he said Eddie has not started that job yet, and he has not done any training on that job yet or anything. He just said Mike Robinson is still our joint activities rep. And I said, okay, well, what is Eddie doing in the plant? And he said, he's just being Eddie. And everybody laughed.
Yeah,
and
I bet they did.
So I guess that's the answer. And so what is Eddie doing in the plant right now? I don't know. I mean, if the chairman didn't want to tell me, or if, you know, he didn't appreciate me questioning it, I'm not sure. But as far as I can tell, Eddie doesn't have a position right now.
Okay, so the point that I'm trying to make is that was an elected position. He ran for that. And you resigned that.
The jar?
When he ran for shop committee at large.
Oh, yes, yes.
That was an elected position. You resigned that position. In other words, all the people who voted for you went to the wayside. You didn't care. You quit the job. Okay, you resigned it, however you want to say it. He quit the job.
It could be the way you look at it, for sure.
So how do you think the people who voted for him felt about that? You know what I'm saying? If people got to keep, you know, you got to think about these things.
The other thing about that, though, Scott, is that I don't think anybody has ran against Eddie in many, many years. They have won by acclamation. Nobody's challenged them, and they've just kind of moved up in the ranks by appointment pretty much because, you know, the chairman has the right to do that contractually. If somebody needs replaced, he can appoint somebody, and if the membership calls for an election, then, of course, we have to hold one. But I don't believe that anybody has challenged anything as far as movement in committee. So I don't really think anybody voted for him in that position, if I'm not mistaken. But
well,
I get your
sometime
point.
They had to. One time they had to.
Right.
I don't remember him being on a. I don't remember him being on any ballot when I was there. I could.
There was a time. He was an implant president.
What?
He said he was the implant president in 2006. And from my understanding, we did have an implant president back then. And it was taken away in around 2006. International made us eliminate the position because implant president was pretty much just the title at our local because we had a plant, we had a president at the plant. So we didn't really need an implant manager. And it's, that position is usually for locals who are smaller and they don't have a full-time president.
When
National got wind of it, they made us eliminate that position. So I guess when he was asked about that, he said he held that position in 2006.
Hmm. Oh, never heard of that.
I know I hadn't heard about it either, but I looked it up. That's it is in the contract. I believe it's document 77.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
Document 77. I'll look it up.
And that 2006. See, when was the scam pulled that we were supposed to have our president and I think our secretary in the plant, but they were at the union hall.
The recording secretary in the plant, I believe, until right after Judy Mosher got elected. I'm not sure how many terms she's had. I think this is her fourth or fifth term. But when she first got elected, I believe she was an in-plant recording secretary until she went full-time.
Yeah, I'm going way back when Don Cooper.
Don Cooper and Debbie Kirshner.
And Debbie Kirsten, there you go. That's how far back I'm going. And they were should have been in the plant with some kind of deal was struck.
Yep.
And
yep.
They got to stay at the union hall.
What usually happens in that case is the bylaws get changed.
Yeah.
So they made a bylaws change, it was, you know, the bylaws committee would have did that first, and then it would have been taken to the executive board, and then it would have been voted on at the meeting. And, you know, a lot of the membership doesn't go to the meeting, so they don't know how this stuff actually transpires, but that is how it probably happened, I would assume. I hope.
I kind of think it didn't happen that way at all.
what Don is referring to is, I believe it was 2013, 14. Got copy of the LM2.
Yeah.
And those two individuals were overpaid, and they were being paid over to the hall when they should have been in the plant, because at that time our bylaws said that if our plant population was below, I think, 3,500 for 6 months, the recording secretary and the president should return back to the plant. And they did not. They stayed over there and they paid. So between the two of them, it was almost... Yeah, it was like $30,000 between the two of them that they were overpaid.
Yeah, definitely. But we sat on it and didn't do anything about it. But nice to have something like that in your back pocket in case you need it.
Right. I got stuff in my back pocket. I guess I'd like to start with, you know, I am a third generation UAW member. My grandfather was a sit-downer. He was instrumental in developing Local 651. He was the second president there, and he was a sit-downer, and he was a part of the flying squadron. He took a leave of absence to be part of the flying squadron. He served two terms as president in Local 651, and then he went on to be an international rep under Walter Reuther. And until he passed away at age 48, had a massive heart attack.
48?
Yeah, he was very young.
Wow.
Unfortunately. I never got to meet him. And then my dad worked for SPO for almost 40 years in Swartz Creek, SPO in Swartz Creek. And then my uncle, his brother, was his foreman. And so, as you can imagine, my dad had it made over there.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, and so I have a lot of aunts and uncles who worked at, you know, Buick and Chevy in the Hole, and, you know, lots of family members, and now I have lots of cousins who worked and are UAW members, and, you know, I'm proud of my legacy, and I'm passionate about it because, I don't know, I think it just lives on through the generations sometimes. And so when I finally was able to get a job with General Motors, and the way I did that was through the referral program. I was married at the time, and my father-in-law was the president of Local 599 at Buick, Bill Jordan.
Oh, okay.
And he put me in for referral. And my dad actually put a referral in for me, he said, but I don't really think that he did, because I think if there was some stuff going on at work he didn't want me to see. So he would tell me that he did, but I don't think he actually did, because when your dad's there 40 years and your uncle is the general foreman, you generally get in if they put in a referral, if you know what I mean. Back then, that's how it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I finally got in, and I started working at Buick in Plant 36, and we were building a 3800 engine. That was in 2006. I was a temp for a year.
By the way, that's the best engine General Motors ever made, was the 3800.
Yeah, very proud to be a part of that.
Bet.
And then, 2007, we got hired in during that contract there, right before the bankruptcy. And so, luckily my father-in-law was the president over there, so I was able to get involved right away. He encouraged me to be on the women's committee. He encouraged me to get involved with United Way and all the sales, t-shirt sales for the fundraisers and stuff that they had over there. So I got to know a lot of people, and I just really loved what the union represented, and always was taught about it when I was a young girl, and was excited to be a part of it. And so I was involved for many years. And then I transferred to Saginaw Metal Casting. I transferred to Lansing Delta. I went to Flint Engine North. I went to Truck and Bus, and then I went back to Flint Engine North. And then I ended up back here at Flint Assembly. And so 2017, a friend of mine was a trustee on the executive board, and her and I had done a few outings together with the UAW, golf outings for Chippin' for Children, and we were just having a lot of fun volunteering and raising money, and she was getting ready to get an appointed job at International, and she told me, Stephanie, my position is coming open, and I think you would be a great fit to be a trustee, and you should think about running for it. And I really didn't even know what a trustee did, but I looked into it and really thought about it for a while, and then they announced the election. Now, mind you, I was volunteering and going to union functions and hanging out with, you know, the executive board and anybody who attends these things, and I really thought that I had relationships with these people. And so I decided that I was going to run for trustee, and a friend of mine said, well, you should call the president and just let him know that you're going to run. That's what people do, and also the chairman. And so I tried to contact both of them to let them know that I was going to run, and neither one of them would return my calls, or when I would go over to the hall, Ryan wasn't there, or actually it was Ray Gorney. And so I just said, well, I can't get a hold of them. I was not involved in politics. I had no idea how all this stuff worked.
Yeah.
But I knew I was going to run for trustee anyway. So the union store was open one day, and it was about a week before the election, and I saw the recording secretary down there, and I said, hey, I just thought I'd let you know I'm running for trustee. And I thought she would be excited for me. And, you know, I was very disappointed to find out that I was shunned right away. She said, well, that's interesting. Well, at least you'll get some election experience, and then you can do some more volunteering over the next 3 years, and then maybe next time you can run and win.
Oh.
And I just kind of looked at her. It just threw me off. I wasn't expecting that at all, and I thought that was very rude.
Mm.
And I don't even think I said anything back to her. I just left. And that just motivated me more. I thought, well, that was really rude. And so I said, you know what? I'm gonna run, and I'm going to win. And so I did, and I ran against 11 people, and we were going to elect 3 trustees. And so I was the only one who got elected. Everybody else had to have a runoff. And they didn't like that either. And it was very disheartening to me. I should have been made the chair trustee. I got the most votes. I was the only one that won the first election run. And when they held the second election, the runoff, people ran. And then he appointed the chair trustee, and it was not me. And historically, the trustee with the most votes gets that position.
Right.
And so from that point on, I kind of knew what I was up against. Like, these guys don't like me anymore. And so I thought, I'm just going to work really hard, and I'm going to prove that I deserve this position, and I'm going to show them that, you know, I should be here, and I'm going to make them like me. And so, you know, two terms as trustee, I've done right by the membership. I took the audits very seriously, and I would ask a lot of questions when I was taking or doing the audit, and that wasn't welcomed either. It's just that I don't want to sit and just dog everybody, but I'm just saying, these are the things that I've been dealing with since I've been elected, and it opened my eyes to where our union is now compared to where it used to be. And the fact that I wasn't welcomed, the fact that I was told that it wasn't my time to run. And they're trying to dictate who can run for a position. I was immediately turned off, and I was immediately upset because that isn't what the union is supposed to be about.
No,
and the membership,
you weren't the chosen one. You weren't
the
chosen.
Is supposed to pick those people. If I run and the membership votes for me, then you should accept that and move forward. And it's not like I went in there and didn't, you know, do my job, because I did. I 100%, 110% did. I volunteered for every single thing, and I did a great job when I did those audits, and I represented well. And even though they didn't treat me very well, I put on a good front to make sure that, you know, the membership thought we were a team.
Right.
And it just never transpired into anything different. It just got worse and worse and worse. The better I would do, the more successful I would be, the harder they would push against me. Finally realized that I was never going to be accepted into their little crew. And to me, that speaks volumes, because the next thing that I learned is that they're controlling who can be part of committees and who can be part of, you know, committee. They're constantly telling people they can't run for committee. And it's just not a welcoming environment for the membership if they're not part of the in-crowd. And it turns members off. I've had members tell me, you know, I don't feel comfortable coming to the union meetings. I don't feel comfortable when I volunteer at the events, because I just feel like I'm not wanted there. I've been dealing with the same thing for a long time. And so this is what has motivated me through the years. It's never made me want to quit. And there's just a lot of other things that I won't talk about, but I want our union to, there's strength in numbers. There's strength in solidarity. And turning people away or turning people off from being involved is never going to bring us to that. We have to have solidarity. All they want to do is control who is involved, because knowledge is power. And the more we know, the less that they can get away with.
Right. Hold up just a minute, Stephanie. We get a lot of phone calls in the switchboard.
Sure.
If you'd like to join the conversation, push 1 on your keypad, and I'll get you on to talk to Stephanie, who is running for president of Local 598 in Flint, Michigan. All right, Stephanie, go ahead.
So anyway, as president, one of the biggest things I want to see is less apathy and more people who care and want to make a difference and believe that their voice should be heard and believe that if we stick together, that we have more power. I don't want the members to feel like they don't matter. I don't want the members to feel like they can't get involved. It's not what we need to get back to our roots. Plain and simple. That's one of the biggest things that motivates me. And then the other thing is, as I've been on this journey, you know, going to the convention was very eye-opening for me. And I see that in the past, and I mean, I was told about it before, but I never got to see it firsthand, but that was all pretty much pre-planned, like who we're going to vote for and what constitutional changes are going to be changed all ahead of time. And that's not what to the membership. The membership thinks we're going down there and we're talking about this stuff and we're making decisions based on what's best for the membership, not that it's pre-planned out and we're just going down there to have a big party and vote for these people that they already picked before we got there.
Right.
And I feel like that's very misleading. And I just, in my experiences and things that the membership has allowed me to do by electing me, and I'm so grateful for that, I've seen a lot of things that I don't think the membership realizes. And I try to get the message out there. Sometimes I'm unsuccessful because in my delivery isn't always the greatest, I guess. And things get misconstrued through text or through, I do my best to try to, I mean, it's hard to be positive when you see things that you know aren't right. And to tell people about, they think you just want to stir the pot. And that's absolutely not just what I want to do. What I want to do is make things right. And there's a right way to do things. And misleading the membership is definitely not the right thing to do.
Now, go ahead, Scott.
Real quick, Dick Danjen used to be part of this show for a long time. And Dick Danjen said that there are two types of people, those who run for power and control and those who run for the honor and the privilege of serving the people or the membership. And I think you're the latter. And, more people need to listen to what you're saying. Not only about being at the convention and seeing the click inside, but I also want to bring up that, to reiterate kind of some of the things you're saying is we've had multiple committeemen resign positions to take appointed jobs within the last 2 years. And I don't know what that reason is. I kind of have an idea, but it's wrong. People voted you in or you had an elected position and you gave that up to go do something else, And, of course, they already have the replacements all lined up. So just wanted to throw that out there real quick.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Scott. A lot of times they try to say that I'm in this for my own self-serving purposes and I'm only trying to benefit myself. And what I try to tell people who ask me about that is you guys have to realize this has not been fun for me. I mean, I get beat up constantly and – When I went down to the convention, the whole table that was with me was telling me except for maybe one person, they were all telling me to sit down and shut up, laughing at me when I would stand up. And granted, it was my first convention, and I do get very nervous in crowds that large being on the microphone. But I was literally, the third day, I thought I was going to get beat up. Because they didn't like the way I was voting. The girls behind me were harassing me. And it's really a sight to see if you go down there and you're somebody like me who's trying to stand up for what's right and you're not going with the narrative that's there.
Right.
And I hope to run for the next convention, take some of the membership with me instead of just our leadership so that they can see it. And I hope that the next convention has a better atmosphere. I know that, we still have a lot of change to make, and I hope that we'll see at the next convention that we have more democratic voting and not pre-planned speeches and pre-planned agenda before we get there that is dictated by the leadership. I don't think Sean Fain will do that, and but it's going to matter what delegates we send down there. And I can't stress enough that we need to vote for delegates to go to that convention who have the membership's interest in mind, period. When we're trying to change these constitutional rules, the membership, not in the leadership. I mean, they're saying no to these things because it's going to hinder them from doing things that they're not supposed to do, as far as I can tell. And so I look forward to the next convention. Even if I don't get to be a delegate, I want to go down there and be able to observe, and I'm hoping that we have a better environment down there for the membership.
I hope so, too, because, I've been to a few, and just watching what everybody jump up for everything that's been being proposed on stage with no feedback, no kickback, whatever they want, they got. It's disheartening.
Right. It's just like a kind of like a cult. I hate to say it, but it is.
No, it has been. Every the only one I haven't, the not the present president, but not the, I don't know who was president now. Gettlefinger, I think.
Was at the Constitutional Convention, remember? It was still Curry.
Yeah.
But the other thing that bothered me is that, you know, there was a lot of delegates down there for reform. And I was very impressed with UAWD. I thought they did. I went to a couple of their meetings, and they're very organized and they're very proactive. And you can tell that they've been doing a lot of hard work for a long time. And I was excited to see that there was other delegates there who wanted to actually make good changes.
Right.
And the people who were there, who were part of the administrative caucus following, were complaining that we were wasting time by arguing, you know, whether we wanted to pass these constitutional changes or not. And because we weren't just accepting everything, we were standing up and saying, you know, this is why we think it should get passed and blah, blah, blah. And we were being accused of wasting time, right?
Mm.
And to me, the delegates that were standing up and saying their name and naming off 100 different things that they've done for the union over their career and almost like begging for praise from everybody in the audience. And then they would go on to praise our leadership, Ray Curry or whoever was up on the stage, and say how eloquent they were and how great they mm-hmm. are, and how, you know, just go on and on and on for 10, 15 minutes instead of getting to the business at hand. You're wasting our time. I'm not wasting your time by trying to be democratic and talk about these things that we came here to do for the membership. That's what we're here to do. You're here for a job interview because you're down there sucking up to the people on the stage. You're doing everything they ask you to do, voting for everything they ask you to vote for. You're wasting our time. I wish I could have stood up and said it. But I know I would have probably, I was really outnumbered over there, especially among Region 1D. I don't know how many other people were there that were going against the grain. But I would like to also, you know, communicate with the membership and be out on the floor and talk to them and, you know, on a regular basis. We're a huge facility. We've got 5 buildings, but I'm sorry, 4 buildings, and there's 3 shifts, so it won't be easy. But I would like to my presence seen out on the floor as well and communicate with the membership and hear about their concerns. And, you know, it's important to get out there. And my time at this plant, I don't think I've seen that more than a couple times a year. And it's usually when it's an election.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you. Who's our acting president right now?
When Ryan resigned, Johnny automatically became the president. Johnny was our vice president. And I'm guessing he resigned because he already signed up to run for vice president. So he didn't want to be the vice president, or he didn't want to be the president.
Right.
So he resigned as the president so that he could rerun for vice president. And so I'm guessing we don't have a president right now, but when I went up to the hall to ask if Johnny had resigned, I got mixed answers. I got told that he had done it the week before. I got told that he hadn't done it yet. A lot of mixed messages when I was up there asking about it. And so I'm a Scott right now. We don't have a president because Johnny has already signed up to run for VP, and he would have had to resign first to do that.
Yeah, I think so. 330, you're on.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this me? I don't know what 330. Oh, my phone number. Okay. I'm calling from a different phone that I don't normally use.
Okay.
First of all, congratulations, Stephanie. I don't think there's a better person out there to run for president. And from the time that you called people out, you know, from when we were doing COVID and they did the illegal vote, you know, or the campaign or whatever it was, you know, when they did the, what am I thinking?
The sign up.
Thank
the sign
you.
Up.
The sign up. Yeah. When they did that, that was shady. And not one other person called them out for that. You did, you know, and that's, how are you going to, you know, do that when the plant's closed, the union hall's closed? They just, you called it out and you fought for that. You have always been dedicated. You're always involved from the time that I've seen you be any part of any trustee or anything. You've just always been there. You've gone to every walk, bus walk. You've been to every type of thing they put on. I'm just really proud of you. I'm just wondering if they treated you that way. Is it because it's Stephanie or is it because you're a woman?
Well, you know what? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know that it would be that because I was a woman, because they're picked.
Okay.
I just really think that it is, they have their people and
right.
You're not allowed to disrespect that. And when
right.
you do that, then you have a target on your back, unfortunately. I had no idea. Honestly, going in, I had no idea. I mean, I knew that the one person told me, it was very rude to me when I said I was going to run, but
right.
I didn't have any clue what I was in for once I got elected. I mean, the first year that I was elected, I've had that autism fundraiser for 13 years now, and not one committee person bought a T-shirt that year, and they always bought them. The years previously.
Yeah, and I like how, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I like how you did all the work for the autism and you got the truck together for us, and that was beautiful, and then somebody else in front of it and took a picture. That's and took pretty much credit, all the credit that, you know, you should have had. It's just kind
well,
of...
Well, so that was, I knew that they were trying to, this is so sad to say, but they were trying to sabotage my fundraiser. And the reason I found out later was because they said I was using it for political gain, even though I had been doing that fundraiser at least 5 years previous to me running. I didn't even know what political gain was at the time.
Right.
I just wanted to serve the membership. So I wanted to get this set up all done. And when I presented it to the executive board, that it was all set in stone so that they couldn't fight it. And my idea was I wanted to have a truck wrapped with autism graphics for the autism walk. And so I emailed the plant manager and I said, hey, I'm Stephanie Riley. I'm a trustee at the local. I hold this fundraiser every year. I was wondering if you'd be willing to donate a truck, not a truck. They didn't give us the truck. They just let us borrow the truck and we put graphics on it. Through a local UAW, well, at the time I thought it was a UAW printer. I found out later it's not. They were on board 100%. They donated the wrap. They donated the truck, and we had it at the autism walk. So I presented it to the e-board, and I said, hey, guys, I'm excited to tell you what we got going on for this year's fundraiser. I try to make it better every year. And I presented it to the e-board, and they were disgusted. And...
Oh.
One of them said, that's never going to happen. And I said, well, actually it is, because they've already wrote the check and the design's already done. And I just can't, if you guys could have been in that room to see their faces, I could just tell that they were so angry. And I found out later that two members of the executive board, two of our officers, went up to the plant manager and tried to stop him from doing it.
Unreal.
And they were going to unveil the truck when it came into the plant. They were delivering it at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the next morning we were going to have an unveiling in the plant for the autism fundraiser. And the recording secretary went up to the plant at 3 o'clock in the morning and took a picture with the truck and posted it on our Facebook page.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I saw that. And I knew you were behind all of that. And that's just shady.
And she knew what she was doing.
Yes, she did.
And I tried not to make stink about it, though, because the membership received that very well. Everybody really liked that. And we have a lot of members who, family members are affected by autism. That's why that fundraiser is always so successful every year, because it affects a lot of people who work there in one way or another. It has nothing
Absolutely.
To do with me for Valiant right now. And so I was just glad that we were able to do it. And, you know, the fact that we didn't get to do the unveiling wasn't a huge deal, but the fact that what they did was, to me, just terrible. And
yeah, you put a lot of work into that, you know, and for somebody else to look like they took credit,
and
I just,
that's, example.
You know, that's just part of that crew to me, you know, and I'm not here to bash anyone, but I just wanted to just call and tell you that I'm super proud of you, and I'm just, I know how dedicated you are to everything that you do. You're not one of these people that, you know, say they're going to do something and don't follow through. You've always followed through. You've always asked questions when they don't want you to ask questions. You've always confronted facts and brought facts. And, you know, it's just been amazing to speak out when everybody else just goes with the flow. And so I'm just super proud of you, Steph. And hang in there, because I'd love for you to be our president.
Oh, on February 20th.
I won't. Oh, one other thing. I was wondering, you know, once you become president, will you have the e-board wearing some pink leather vest?
That's a great idea. I like that.
That's
funny. All right,
I'm going to make a motion. I'm going to make a motion for some pink vest.
Yep, they all have to wear it. Take care. Good luck.
Thanks for calling.
I have a question for you, Steph.
Okay, Jean.
What is one of the biggest things that you, outside of the members feeling welcome to come to the meetings and, oh, you know, the hall open to the members, on the business side, so to speak, what are some of the things that you see that need to be changed in the benefit of the member?
So I don't like how everything is voted on at the meeting, because not even of the membership shows up to those meetings. And so, you know, the money that...
Well, the hall isn't big enough to hold the membership.
It's not. But, Jean, you know, we can – a lot of the locals do virtual meetings now. You can do them private and secure. You can do Zoom meetings. I haven't done one personally, but I do know that other locals do it because I've been told about it. And so I think
that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that that could get more membership involvement there. You know, maybe necessarily we don't not vote at the meetings on things, but it would give people more of a chance to participate in these votes. And then also, I believe the standing committees should be voted on as a regular election in the plant. I don't want to vote. I don't think, I mean, I have to obviously get feedback from everybody else, but I think that voting on those at the meetings isn't good enough. I think that, especially the election committee, I think that the membership should be voting for those people. And so, you know, we make a lot of motions at meetings, and that stuff's all just voted on by the people that are there. And a lot of that stuff, to me, the membership should be aware of and have a voice on. And so I would like to find ways, when we vote on this stuff, to have more participation instead of just being generalized to, you know, maybe 300 people if we're lucky, to make these huge decisions for our local.
That
Does
sounds
that
great.
Answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, because the members need to have a voice. And, I mean, granted, you have a voice in your vote, so to speak. But, like you said, a lot of these people aren't really voted on by the membership. You know, they vote
right.
the delegates to go down to a convention.
Right.
They should be able to vote for the people that are representing them in these committees as well.
Right.
That's,
and, you know,
and the Zoom meeting is like a great idea.
Right. So I'm glad you brought this up, because I want to talk about the appointed people in our plant. I have been trying really hard to find out how many appointed people we have, what the names of the people are that hold these positions, and what the positions actually are. I know what the DOC 46 positions are, which are internationally local appointed jobs for people that don't know what a DOC 46 is. And I know that we have a large membership. So we get 200, and for every 250 members, we're allotted one DOC 46 appointed job in our plan. But how are locally appointed jobs determined? I haven't been able to find anything in the Constitution, anything in the bylaws, anything in the local agreement, thing in the national agreement on these locally appointed jobs. And so I went up to the hall and I asked our acting president at the time, or whatever he is, Johnny, I said, Johnny, I would like to have a list of the appointed people in our plant and the names of the people that are holding them, the positions and the names. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't have that here. And I said, well, okay. So then we go over to regional office and ask them, and they say our hall should have that information. So we go back over to the hall, and they still say that they don't have it. I called an international servicing rep and asked him for the information, and he assured me that he would get it for me. But he called me back and told me all this information about my plant, about how this person is, and I said, wait a minute, I didn't ask you to call my plant. I simply wanted a list of these, and you told me that you could get it from the database. And then he wouldn't give me the information, okay? So the fact that they don't want us to know who these people are, what their positions are, and is very disturbing to me. And the reason it bothers me, there's a couple of different reasons it bothers me, but one thing is at election time, and obviously this affects me, so they're their own personal campaign crew.
Right.
They stand at the gates on the clock, and they pass out all their literature for them. They give members rides down to the polls, and they pass out their caucus cards to all these members while they're, you know, illegally giving them a ride down to the polls and tell them who to vote for. They have orientations, and the first day they're in there, they pass out their caucus cards and give them a break and tell them to go down and vote. And it's really out of control. And I feel like we have all these appointed people who are completely controlled by our leadership. They are told to do what they're told, to think how they're told, and to vote for who they're told. And it's not right. And I want to get to the bottom of it. I am going to make a motion at the next meeting that our chairman give us this information. It's just part of the steps. I'm sure he's not going to give it to me. But the membership,
I agree.
I don't think any member would disagree with that. And secondly, I think that there needs to be a process in getting these jobs. You should have qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
You should have you should apply. When the position's open, they should be posted so the membership can see them. And, you know, if there's a tiebreaker in between applicants, it should go by seniority. I don't believe that it should be allowed to have these appointed people just pick from their family or their friends. And the other thing is, you know, we've got appointed people on our election committee. And to me, that's a conflict of interest because the president appointed you onto the election committee, and he is a candidate in a lot of these elections, and you're counting
right.
on him to get reelected to keep your position. You might not hold that appointed position anymore.
Right.
So there's a lot of different dynamics that go into these appointed jobs in the plant that they're questionable. That's what I'll say. And it's not fair to the membership. It's not fair to people who want to get involved in running these elections. And honestly, it helps them to have complete control. Because when you have an automatic, if I had to guess, I'd say we have about 300 total appointed people in our plant. And I'd say about 1,200 people on average vote in our elections, sad but true. And you have automatically 300 votes right there that you're going to get.
Yep.
On top of that, they're going to be out there on that floor on all three shifts campaigning for them. That's pretty powerful.
It's hard to beat.
And pretty wrong.
It is wrong. Damn. It's illegal, actually. But
a lot of callers.
You know?
Hold on, Stephanie. We got a lot of callers in the switchboard. Push
sure.
one on your keypad if you would like to join the conversation. Talk to Stephanie. Okay, go ahead.
So basically you're saying, you know, that they are bought and paid for people.
Pretty much. In a nutshell. In a nutshell. And, you know, we have some appointed people in our plant who I have a ton of respect for. They're very intelligent. They do a great job. They take their job seriously. They don't screw around. And I don't have any problem with these appointed people. And you know what? I understand their position. And I understand, you know, you're off the floor. You've got a great position, and you're going to try to hold on to it. But it's not fair to the membership because it just isn't. It's not fair. And you can't just, when you're part of the union and you're part of the UAW, you're supposed to be there for each other. We're supposed to look out for each other, have each other's back. And it's kind of self-serving to be in those positions.
Well,
and just, yeah.
I was going to say, on top of that, the union talks about a democratic way of life, you know, a democracy, having, you know, basically voting people in, having a say in who your leadership is. And if the membership doesn't have a say, it's not very democratic. It's more dictatorship.
It is. And it's almost like saying, I don't really care what the membership wants. They can go ahead and vote, but we're going to manipulate the turnout. You know, since we're on the subject of elections, I'd like to talk about my frustrations with the election committee. So as a candidate, you have the right to request things of the election committee to make it so you as a candidate feel that the election is being run securely and to make you feel safe as a candidate. And if it's a reasonable request, election committees historically honor their requests. And I've run in quite a few elections, and so I've seen things that kind of have bothered me throughout the process. And each time that I run for something, I turn these requests into the election committee. For instance, last time we ran the election, I was alerted that the recording secretary was standing at the door of the hall, passing out literature to everybody who walked in for the caucus. You know, they had 5 or 6 people that were running that they wanted to get elected. And I was told that she had called a list of retirees and asked them to come up to the hall and vote. And she alerted them that when they got to the hall, she would give them the list of people to vote for. I mean, these people haven't been around in ages. They don't know anybody, you know. A lot of them came up there to vote. But it wasn't just retirees that came in there. But in our bylaws, it states that you have to be 100 feet from the door of the polling place if you're campaigning. You can't be any closer than that to the door of the polling place. And since she was standing right by the front door, I went over there and I asked her to move 100 feet, and she refused to move. So I went in and I said to the chair of the election committee, your recording secretary is standing directly at the door of the polling place campaigning, and she needs to move. And, you know, the chair of the election committee argued with me, and so I pulled out the bylaws and I showed her the rule, and she went outside hesitantly. She acted like I was bothering her and asked her to move, and the recording secretary moved, but it was probably a couple more feet away from the door. And she was arguing with me that it wasn't the outside door, it was the inside door. But the difference between the two doors was probably 2 feet anyway. and said, well, you know, whether it's the inside door or the outside door, you're still not 100 feet from the polling place. And then I asked our vice president, who was standing out there listening to us, to go in and get a measuring tape and show her where 100 feet is, and he wouldn't do it. And so for the next election, I ask, I would like for that 100 feet to be clearly marked so that people who are out here campaigning know where their boundaries are. That was just, this is just one example.
You've got another call, Stephanie.
Okay. And they won't do it.
Hold on for a minute.
They say no.
They said no?
They said no. They're not going to do that. I've asked that the ballot boxes from the polling places in the plant, they get taken over to the hall. I've asked, can my challengers follow those ballot boxes? And they say no.
Wow.
And I've asked for gear tags to be put on the ballot boxes so that we can tell when they get over the hall that they haven't been opened. They said no.
No.
So there's a lot of different things. I could go on and on and on.
That's crazy.
So this bothers me too.
Well, hold on just a second, Stephanie. You got another phone call. 810,
okay.
You're on.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
810, hello. Go ahead.
I just want to say I transferred here in 2019 from Lordstown, Ohio, and in the spring of that year. We went on strike shortly thereafter, and I was at the Whiting for this rollout, and I saw this young lady step up and just, like, command the floor. I was like, who the heck is this? And it happened to be Stephanie, and I was just amazed. And I only had a couple friends at the time, and I actually was talking about her, and they were like, oh, that's Stephanie Riley. I was like, well, she's like a leader. I don't know. She just had this command. And I just think, I hope that the membership wakes up and sees that you are the woman for this job.
I sure appreciate that. I remember that day at the Whiting, and
I had
a lot of questions.
Who is this? I'm like, wow.
I had a lot of questions about that contract.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you did. And they were forced to answer them or not, but
They eventually shut me down, but I got a few answers before they did.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they did. But I was just, I don't know, I was just taken aback. I was like, wow, who is this?
Well,
I really think you are the woman for the job.
Very nice. Very nice.
I appreciate you. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
You can hang on the line if you want and listen and chime in anytime. Okay. Go ahead, Stephanie. You had another complaint, I believe.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't want to keep complaining. I just want to say these are the things that I see during my career as whatever I run for, trustee or delegate, or, you know, these are the things that bother me that I want to see change. I feel like we should make every candidate feel like we're running safe elections. And if, you know, if you're making a request to the election committee that's reasonable and it doesn't break any laws or any bylaws, why wouldn't you just say, sure, we can make that happen? You know, To me, if I was on the election committee, I would want them to feel like I'm there for them to run their elections safe and secure. And I know from my experiences in any position, you always have room to grow and learn and improve to me. And I know that if I do get elected, I know that it's not going to be easy for me, because obviously everybody knows that our leadership doesn't want me to get elected. They've made that very loud and clear. But I promise to go in there and try to just make the positive changes that need to be made to put the membership back in control.
Well, that's what they need.
Yes.
I don't. It's so obvious. I don't know. One of the candidates is like a strong-armed guy. I don't know. I just don't think he's the right person for this job at all. I'm amazed at the support for that person.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stephanie is like so involved. She's from the time, like I said, I don't know anybody here. And I was just like, who the heck is this lady? This is amazing. I don't know. I think she's all in. And
I am all in. I appreciate that.
I know.
Not everybody feels that way.
Well,
but
they need to wake up.
I just really want people to know I'm not perfect, but I really, really am passionate about the membership's
Listen,
right.
You are. And no one, I don't know anyone else that is like that. And I have no, nothing in this race, but I mean, I want you, but it's, I don't know. People need to wake up. It's about their buddy and all that stuff.
Right.
It's
that's
about
exactly
being
right.
a people person. And for the members, that's what it should be. It's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and I remember Amen. A long time ago during a strike, long time ago, I can't remember what year, the person she's running against was down the road on Van Slyke with a group, drunk, throwing beer bottles at cars as they went by. That's who's running for president
nice.
Of Local 598. I just want folks to
exactly.
know that. That's a
well,
fact.
I've heard stories myself, and like I said, I'm not even from here, so I know. I'm going to sign off here. Stephanie, good luck to you. I hope everyone
Thank you. Don't
understands what you will do for the membership, and we need you.
And we'll
we will
be back on the UAW show on Sunday, and Stephanie's welcome to join us on Sunday and continue her campaign Sunday night if she would like.
Also pass around her information, help her out that way.
That'd be great. Thank you.
And contact her if you need, and ask her if there's anything you can do to help her out. I'm sure there's probably a lot we can all do to help her out.
I'm glad you brought that up, Jean, because in order to get things done, I do need the membership participation. I can't go to these meetings with the same old people there and get anything done. So
no.
I'm going to need support, 100%.
Okay, hold on. You got another 810. Hold on. Getting it on. 810, you're on.
Hello, is this for me?
Yes. Yes, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to validate some of the things that Stephanie said. I was a member of the executive board, and right off the bat, I noticed when she started asking questions as a trustee, valid questions, as to how the membership money was going to be spent, they kind of, you could just tell, they didn't like her questions. They didn't want her to talk about it. In fact, one of the executive board meetings we had, Stephanie wasn't there, and I asked why Stephanie wasn't there, and they said she wasn't invited. If you are a member of the executive board, you are invited regardless at every board meeting.
Wow.
I watched how when she was running for trustee again, how they violated all kinds of the rules and held her to a different standard. Just basically tried to put her out as she was a troublemaker because she asked questions that needed to be asked. Also, just all around, you could tell they didn't like her. And she wasn't, going to go with the status quo.
All right.
She was going to ask questions that were valid questions for the membership. I also would like to say, as far as voting at the membership or at the meeting membership meetings, when you're part of the executive board, when I was first new on the executive board, I was on there for 6 years. It's kind of like, okay, we're voting on this. And so at the meeting, you people on the board are supposed to say, yay, we want to vote it in and just kind of like push it through real fast and no one will notice.
Right.
That happened like at every membership meeting. And I also have a question for you, Stephanie. I would like to know, because 598 is an amalgamated union. So at most of the membership meetings, everything that is discussed involves just the GM workers. And a lot of the other people don't come for that reason. What would you do to fix that?
Well, I think that I mentioned this last time that I ran to a few of the people that I talked to from Aramark and LOC. You know what? If you guys want to call a special meeting for just your division, let's do it. I know that our president, our former president, was asked to do these things and told them no. I have no problem addressing their stuff at the regular meeting they wish to do, but if they want to have their own meeting, I'd be 100% all for that as well, because you know what? They pay union dues and they deserve a voice just like the rest of us. And I know that it can get very overwhelming at our regular meetings. They're already an hour long. So you know what? Let's have a meeting just for LOC or for Aramark, or, you know, and the other thing is that I don't have bargaining experience. I have taken grievance classes and that kind of thing, but I've never had to deal with a grievance or been at the bargaining table. But I'm also told that our former president didn't really participate in those things. They have their own chair and they have their own committee. And I want to dive into that stuff. I want to learn, and I'm a pretty smart gal. And so I think that I'd be very good at something like that. And so I want to participate in that stuff, and I want to help them fight for their rights. So
I believe you would be very good at that as well. And speaking as a former chairperson, the president really didn't get involved in the grievance procedure. I personally handled my own business. On a few occasions, I called him and asked him to come to the meetings, which he sometimes did. Once in a while, he would say that he had other things that he was doing and couldn't. When I asked about separate meetings for the Aramark people, I was told that he would have to rewrite the bylaws. However, I did reach out to other locals, and they had separate meetings for, you know, whoever the people were.
I don't know, Deb, if that has to be a bylaw change. My guess would be that no. I mean, why would we need a bylaw to tell us we can have a meeting? We call meetings all the time. So, I mean, if that's the case.
That's what I was
told.
And that's
the other thing. Right, right. And that's the other thing, is that our bylaws committee is our chairman and our president and a retiree who lives up north somewhere. And to me, that needs to change too, because the president and the chairman shouldn't be writing the bylaws that govern the way that they're going to run things. And so
I totally agree.
Yeah. So
I totally agree. And I think you are absolutely the right person for the job, and that you will represent all Local 598 members equally.
I sure appreciate you calling in so much.
No problem. You have a great night.
You too.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. We have callers, so push one on your keypad and we'll get you right on. And you can stay on and listen if you'd like. It's fine. Just mute your phone. If you want to say something, unmute. Just jump on in. Okay, go ahead, Stephanie.
Oh, I don't know, Don. Where was I? Just going on.
You're doing fine.
Here's the thing, too, is that the president is responsible for, you know, public relations, getting out there and working with the community on things. And a lot of times, I know last election I had people concerned that I didn't want to support the charities that we currently support every year. I mean, there's Old Newsboys, there's Marta Luna Food Pantry, there's, you know, Toys for Tots, whatever it is. And I've always supported these charities. I've sent on board with all of it. And there's no way the community counts on Local 598 every year for these charities. And there's no way I would ever try to stop that. That's just not who I am. So I don't want the membership to be concerned about that at all. And I think that I'm the better candidate for this kind of stuff. I have organized fundraisers. I've organized events. You know, the autism walk, I was a huge part of making that happen. And so, you know, that's a big strength of mine, is to get that kind of stuff done. And I think we have room for improvement on raising this money. I think we can raise a lot more money than we do. I have a lot of ideas for that stuff. So I just want the membership to know that I'm not going to try to come in and change who we raise money for. Could we add people? Well, absolutely we could. I have members approach me all the time wanting us to support this cause or that cause. And I do think that the old leadership that we had in place hindered that, because it would possibly take away from what they support. And I don't think our membership has any limits to who we want to support. Anytime we have a fundraiser, everybody's all in. Our membership is very generous and wants to give to the community. So
that's right. You're right.
Yep, we do. And I think that you need to have more awareness with that as well, because the community needs to realize that these jobs being here in Flint, it's not just good for the people who work there. It's good for the community. Do they realize how much we support these people in our community and around the surrounding areas? I don't think that they do as much as they could. And so, you know, when it comes strike time and stuff, if the community is more aware of how we support them, they'll be more apt to support us.
Right. I remember when Buick was kicking, like with 27,000 people working in
right.
a metal fab, I mean, engine plant, and AC was kicking. Flint was alive.
Right.
I mean, alive. It was awesome.
Yep.
And then you see the blight that's happening in Flint right now. And it's only a few plants keeping it alive. That's it.
You know, when people go out and buy these vehicles who are, you know, I know that a lot of our cars and trucks have foreign parts and that kind of thing. But, you know, you try to at least buy products that GM builds or Ford builds or Stellantis builds. Because it does give back to the community more than people realize. And so I'd like to be able to raise the awareness with that again. I feel like we've kind of fell behind in that area. There's a lot of people who kind of gave up when we started shipping jobs overseas and that kind of stuff. But I think we got a lot of opportunity in that area as well.
You've got a lot of good ideas. Let me get 586. Let me get 586 on. 586, you're on.
All right. Do we ever find out what Piggott is his position is, Kelly?
So when I asked at the union meeting what Eddie Piggott is currently doing, the chairman answered he's being Eddie Piggott. So
I remember you.
If I had to guess, Eddie Piggott does not have a position right now.
So, to me, wouldn't that be
wrong?
I mean, yeah, we all could be wrong, you know, but if he doesn't have a position, if he's not on a job, 67 left or trim, wouldn't that be stealing time? Isn't that stealing money? I mean,
it could definitely be perceived that way, yes.
Yeah.
He's not committed anymore, and he has since May, and he filled in for the chairman while he was down in the bargaining. To me, a member of committee should have been doing that.
Like I told you this morning, first time I've ever seen this guy, he was walking around smiling. I talked to you this morning, texted you this morning about it. You know, like I've never seen this guy ever before, and I've been here 4 years. Came from. So.
Okay.
Yeah, the first time I actually saw the guy was in a picture for the polar plunge. First time ever. And then this morning,
you know,
walking around smiling.
4 years?
Yeah, 4 years I've been at this plant, and I don't even know who this guy is. I know I've seen John. I've seen John Jackson. I've seen him. I've talked to him by passing, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Eddie has really been laying kind of low for quite a while now. You don't hear much from him.
it hasn't always been that way, but I would say at least the last 4 years, I haven't seen much of Eddie. Kind of stays quiet and, for whatever his reasons are.
And I've heard from you. I've talked to you more than him. So,
Well,
that's
I
what
get
we
out
need
there.
More. Like, you don't. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you should
activist.
Do.
I've been called an activist. And, I'm very
need,
vocal
though.
On
that's,
Facebook.
That's what
page,
I want.
Sometimes to a fault. But, yes, you're right. We need to. Hey, you know what? People are asking Eddie on the app, how did you vote for one member, one vote? How did you vote for the president? And he's answering, but how do we know? He never spoke out about any of that stuff. He never got on and told the membership, what's going on or anything during that period of time. So we just have to take Eddie's word for it. Everybody knows how I voted.
Yep.
I was
it's saddening that you don't see these guys until it's voting time. It gets tiring.
That is amazing, isn't it? It is amazing how they can hide out.
And I understand they're busy. I'm not going to take that away. You do get busy. I 100% understand that.
Yeah, you
but,
do.
Hey, if you come in a half hour, I don't mind paying my union dues for that. Come on in a half hour, walk around, wave every other day,
Well, I've been criticized since day one about my Facebook interaction. Stephanie, you need to get off Facebook, blah, 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 blah. And I refuse to do it because, for one thing, they don't like me, so I don't take advice from people who don't have my best interests in it. But I feel it's important to be transparent and to communicate with the membership. Whether they want to agree with me or not is a whole different story, but I'm going to let you know why I feel the way I do, why I'm going to do the way I do. And I always 100% have the membership's interest first, whether I'm right or wrong. So,
and that's what
like
we need to do. Go ahead, Steph.
No, I just feel like everybody knows that about me. Do we know that about him? No, we don't.
No. And that's the thing is what we need too is you have a lot of memberships that came from, Hamtramck and all that, and that still live out that way. And they wanted to attend meetings, but, we work, so a lot of us third shifts, we work that extra hour on a Sunday.
Right.
And we have asked, hey, can you do a live? Why can't you do a live? Well, it's just because somebody will come in. Okay, let them come in and watch. Oh, well.
Right.
Get an admin to look through people that log in. If they don't belong, kick them out.
Absolutely. I agree. And nobody outside.
They really don't. They just don't want to admit that technology is catching up, and they just. But yeah, I've talked to many people that live out in Detroit still that drive this way that would love to, but that extra hour working third shift, it kills you.
Oh, I totally get it. I did that for 8 years, brother. I get it.
Yep. So and what you wanting to do, the lives and all that, that's awesome,
I'll be all about it.
I even tried to ask what his position was, and I heard nothing from him, so I heard crickets for Pickett.
I've seen several people ask, and he's not answering that question, so it does raise a lot.
Like I said, I perceive it as stealing. I think he's stealing. If he doesn't have a job anymore, and he's just hiding out in the office, that's stealing time. Sorry.
Well, I did ask the chairman, I said, is that okay? And he said, I guess it is.
I think I might do that, I wonder how long I'll have my job. Just being me.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly. So,
not kosher.
But all right, I'll let you do your thing. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
No problem. Thank you.
Right. You can hang on the line if you'd like. And
Oh, yeah. I'm going to finish listening.
Okay. No problem. Now, Stephanie, it says we got 9 minutes, but I can add a half hour right now. You've got a lot of people on the switchboard, but if you want me to add
well,
that half hour.
Ask questions, I'm up for it. I can stay up all night. I'm going to actually, when we're done with this, head back over to the plant and try to hit the end of second shift and into the first part of third shift. I don't have a lot of time to campaign, unfortunately. I mean, we got a week in between sign up and the election, so I had
and
to get my flyers ordered and everything, and that took some time because I used a union printer, and so I'm scrambling to get out there and talk to everybody. So this is great if a lot of people tune in and can listen later. I'm all for it.
Okay. Well, we got 38 minutes to go then. All right. Yeah. Why is it so fast? That doesn't make sense.
You know what, Don? I was actually up at the hall a week or so ago talking to a couple members of the executive board, and I didn't even realize that it was kind of faster than normal. And one of the members of the executive board said, the reason that we're rushing it is because we need to get a president in place. And it hadn't even occurred to me at that point that they were rushing it. And I thought to myself, I wonder why they're really rushing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. And I took my battles, but it's been very difficult for me to get situated and get out here and talk to the membership. Luckily, I did it 6 months ago when we had that election. So a lot of people already know me and have already talked to me, but I have to apologize to the membership if I can't get out and talk to everybody because I simply don't have enough time allotted. I mean, I could complain about it, but, you know, is it going to do anything? Probably not. So.
No, but I thought that was pretty funny. The guy's been in the plant 4 years and he just seen Eddie. I'm sorry.
I mean,
just
it's
fits
true.
The bill.
He has to play in. I don't see him very often, and I'm very active, so I don't see Eddie that often. He's, you know, Eddie's always been cordial with me and everything, but
I
just don't see him that often. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, I guess, you know. Yes. Scotty, have you seen Eddie? Do you know what he's doing?
Last time I saw him was when the car was on fire out in the parking lot. Everybody except the chairman was out there watching.
Not too long ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
the car.
Till then, I think I might have spotted him. I definitely saw him when we had the elections. I think, and before that, I think he walked back with the chairman back in repair 2 years ago. So, yeah, I've only seen him, you know, yeah. For somebody that is in his position, he should be, I would think, highly visible. You know what I mean?
That's, or not
that's
visible,
just my thought.
Depending. Well,
yeah.
If he doesn't have a job, I mean, if he isn't on the committee at large.
I guess.
I don't know.
But. I don't know. Maybe
we could all have a job just being who we are, right?
I know. Yeah. I just want to be Stephanie. I just be Stephanie.
Right.
And get paid 12-hour days, 7 days a week. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would.
I don't know that that's what you get paid. I just know that most of those guys, that's what they work.
Yeah.
And but,
if you do your job and do it right, that's a tough-ass job. I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Especially with a membership of our size. There's just got to be people coming at you from all directions.
Yeah.
So.
And the president has to take care of a lot of people. Job if you do it right. All of those jobs are tough if you do them right. Somehow or another, they figured a way not to do them right.
You really got to have a heart for it.
Hired in, though. I remember when I had 130 days in, and I needed my committee man. I mean, yeah, his name was Chick, believe it or not, his Chick. And he was an older guy. And I walked out lunchtime, but I walked down, find out, hey, where's Chick at? Oh, you really want to know? He's at the dugout lounge. You know where that's at? And I said, yeah, Fenton Road. So I went over to, you know, he's supposed to be working, but every committee man in a plant was around this big, huge table, and they're all talking, laughing. And I sat at the bar, you know, watching and getting madder than hell. And I, of course, I didn't get into any trouble because I could have said some things. But you do it right, it's a hard job.
Yeah, it takes a lot out of you, too. Like, you know, it's emotional, and you want to fight for the membership, and sometimes it's not easy to get things
done. You're like Scott. It sounds like you're like Scott. He brings it home, you know?
For sure.
He really gets upset.
They're giving me a hard time about these grievances and stuff, and I get it that I don't have bargaining experience and that we're amalgamated and the president has that opportunity. But I hear members every day say that they won't write them a grievance. And so, you know, it's just funny.
Yeah. What's funny is watching you put a committee call in and watching your committee man going up to the supervisor first instead of you and talking to the supervisor first. I used to watch that all the time. I handle my own business, but I just could not put up with that. Scott, you've seen that too, I believe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hell, you've seen a few times. You've seen a few times when people, when you were online, I come and talk to you, and people come ask me questions, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. He would take committee calls at my desk. He'd be on his scooter or on his sport truck, and people, the bell is rung. We're going home. It's time to go home. And Scott had to go to work, but he had to answer a few questions pretty often. And Scott always told them where to go, how to do it. And that was cool. And he always took his time to help people.
I'll never forget the one time. And this will give you a little shot in the arm, Stephanie. There was one time somebody left a note anonymously at Don's desk. You remember that, Don?
Yeah.
They said, we're an appointed person. But you got my vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't sign their name. Didn't nothing. Because they're afraid they're gonna lose their job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've had committee calls where they come out and talk to management and don't talk to me at all.
Oh man.
And then I say, "Can I get my committee call?" And they say, "You already had it." And I'm like, "Really?"
Oh. Oh, I don't know how I would handle that.
Pardon the pun, but wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'd say team leader, come and do my job because I'm heading for the front. Yeah, I'm going to find out what.
I had it down in the committee room and raised hell. You better believe it.
Oh, man. God, how can you do that? That's terrible.
That was back in Dancing Delta days.
Man, I was only a third stringer just to help out, and they ran me ragged for a week, and I wouldn't do that job for nothing. Thank you very much. Put me on back. I worked in the office and put me on a line. I don't want no part of this. Oh,
that wasn't for you.
What's that?
I said that wasn't for you, huh?
No. I knew it wasn't for me, but I had to help out. I was kind of drafted. Hawkins drafted me in Dunsire.
Oh, okay.
So everybody left town. What the hell am I supposed to do? I don't know anything. You talking about you don't know nothing about a grievance. Holy crap. I wrote more grievances. Now I don't even know what I wrote. I was learning on the fly. I did get people off, though.
Yeah, but if you got a good committee man, he won't have a lot of calls in his district.
True.
Well, I'm
not. You know, the night when I was out on second shift, and right in front of me, a supervisor who, by the way, took one of my campaign posters down. I watched him do it because they didn't like the side of the break room that I put it on.
Oh.
they were working on the line when I was standing there talking to one of our members, and I'm just staring at them, and I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to get thrown out of there for campaigning, so I kept my mouth shut. And the members were sitting there telling me, oh, yeah, they do it all the time. They're always working on this line.
You
and
know,
I'm
that
like,
started
yeah, make
happening
a committee
before
call.
Yeah. That started happening before I retired. What the hell is going on? Well, you know, we have to keep
control.
The line running. Crazy. A lot of things have changed. Push one on your keypad, folks, if you want to join the conversation. And I know that we got a lot of good people who has good shows. Ron Reck is in the chat room. Joseph Gibson running for representative of the state of North Carolina. Got it right. An American Statesman. She's got a show on Monday night at 7 o'clock. Joe's got one at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. And Ron, well, you just got to catch him. He's a night hog, so he could be anywhere. So, Ron, great people, good shows, and right here on Blog Talk Radio.
There's another thing I would like to talk about, if you guys don't mind.
Okay.
So, I always hear the rumors that are going around about me, so this is one that I'd like to address. And it's being spread around about me, and I guess it's opinion. Maybe, you know, to some people this is wishy-washy, but they're saying that I'm wishy-washy. And there's a couple of different reasons for that. First of all, when we had our international elections, in the beginning, in the first run, I supported Brian Keller. And I supported Brian Keller because he was the only one that hadn't already been part of the, you know, international. He was the only one that hadn't already been in there. And I didn't trust any of those guys who were already inside, who had already done negotiating for us, who didn't speak up, you know, even though Sean Fain was speaking up now, he had been in there for a long time before I ever heard anything about him speaking up. So I picked Brian Keller. You know, sometimes you have your choices, and I mean, I'm not knocking Brian Keller, but he lost. Okay, so I had two choices. I had Ray Curry or I had Sean Fain. And the obvious choice is Sean Fain, because Sean Fain was running on reform. And I, everybody knows, I am for reform. I don't know why people think that by changing to the candidate that was still in the running makes me wishy-washy, but apparently that's the perception that it's giving to some people. And then the other issue is that, you know, as a legacy employee, a legacy member during contract time, and being somebody who has been advocating for change for so long, I mean, I did a lot of work on my free time campaigning for these people and doing a lot of homework, pushing for reform. And I can't imagine how these people who have been doing a lot longer than me feel, but when we went into this contract, I felt titled because we've got new leadership. I felt like we really had people who were going to bargain for the members, and I was excited. And all throughout the contract campaign, I followed it closely. I communicated it with the membership. I tried to let them know what was going on because our leadership was silent. They weren't even talking about those contracts. And when they finally had that first agreement, as a legacy member, I felt betrayed because they didn't have to offer the 10th full wages right on top, right up front, and then only give us 15% to start. I felt like it should have been more balanced because we have been waiting. We thought this was our time. We've been waiting
here,
contract after contract after contract to get our due. And I really, truly believe that we were going to get our due in this contract. I knew we weren't going to get everything that Sean Fain was demanding or that the members demanded. That's part of bargaining. We want to go out there and have a united front and talk a lot of shit and ask for way more than we know we're going to get. But, yes, I was very disappointed and felt very hurt when that contract was presented to us. To me, the more I heard, the worse it got. And so I was upset with Sean Fain and Mike Booth and our bargainers, because I didn't realize that we bargained for the majority. And because of the corruption over the years, the legacy members were outnumbered. And so we were put kind of on the back burner. And I guess that's the way it's always been. But, you know, as I stay involved, I learn more and more and more. And so I did. I spoke out amongst our members, because a lot of us were upset, and said, you know, I am not happy with this contract. And so they took that as me stabbing Sean Fain in the back. And I just want to say, I have zero problem with holding our leadership accountable. Doesn't mean I don't support somebody because I disagree with something that they say or that they do. And it doesn't mean that I'm right, but I'm going to be transparent with how I feel and why I feel that way. And to me, that's not being wishy-washy. That's me being honest. If I follow somebody blindly and say everything that they do is great all the time, then I think that that's a problem. And I feel like that's what's wrong with politics today. You pick a president and then they can do no wrong. And so I'm not that person. And I still support Sean Fain. And we did get a good contract. Do I think it was a record contract? I don't, because I feel like a lot of it were throwbacks to things that were taken from us that we were entitled to get back. But
right.
If Curry was our president, would we have done any of that stuff? Absolutely not. I already know that 100%. And I don't regret voting for Sean Fain, and I don't regret pushing for Sean Fain. And right now, I still support Sean Fain. We're not going to always agree. And I'm not in Sean Fain's shoes. So I've never been at the bargaining table. So I don't know the ins and outs of all of it. But I had a right as a member and even as a leader to be disappointed with what we got.
Well, and Steph, when you were disappointed, it was also misconstrued that you were upset that the temporaries got so much.
Oh, right. Yeah, and I wasn't. I'm overjoyed that these people have a better lifestyle, and, you know, they're giving to our economy, and it's better for us overall. And I've always pushed to have no tiers. I've always pushed for everybody to be equal. It's something that I've always wanted. But I just feel like the way that it transpired, like, so if they would have presented the first contract and said, the temps are going to get hired, they're going to start with this amount, and they're going to build their way up, those temps would have been happy as pie. They wouldn't have known any different.
Right.
When you go in and go, you're all hired and you're all getting $35 an hour, there's no turning back from that. We were all pitted against each other because there's no way in hell that they want to go back to the bargaining table and risk losing that time. I felt like if we went back, we could have all won on that, but I can understand them not wanting to do it. Am I begrudging what they got? Absolutely not. I'm absolutely happy for them, and I don't want anybody to think that I didn't want them to have a better life, because they deserve it. They work side by side with us and do the same job, and we should all be making the same pay. And hopefully next contract we can all get after our post-retirement health care, because that was taken from me in the bankruptcy. So I'm passionate about that as well. And we just need to be able to be united and all fighting for the same things. And it was impossible the way it was. And so it was almost impossible to not have us pitted against each other no matter what.
That's right. 336 is on. Hang on. 336, you're on.
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
Very good.
Hi.
Me, Joe. My opinion is this, is if we're going to fix this country, obviously we have to start at the local level and at the small, you know, the towns and the boroughs and the, you know, the smaller cities and whatnot. We have to start there, but we have to obey the Constitution and restore the Republic lawfully. We're not under the Constitution technically, and we're not obeying the Constitution, that's for sure. And the most important thing that is corrupting our society and corrupting us as how we do business is the Federal Reserve, the monetary system, the fractional reserve banking system.
Joe,
and that's how we do business in this country. Yes.
I know. Joe. This is a local election, local UAW local election.
Yeah, well, it's how we do business. I mean, that's what I was getting to, actually, you know. It's a local union, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this trickles all the way down to the unions and how the grip of the money changers has on the union officers and the union corporate executives. Now, I don't know how big your union is. I don't know what union you guys are part of, but, you know, obviously you said it's the union election. But I remember when I was part of a union in Connecticut, they had corruption at the highest levels. You know, and it goes to the money system, the monetary system, because every union has a war chest, and that money is put somewhere in a lockbox in a bank. You know, so that's and if you look it up, you'll know what I'm you'll see what I'm talking about.
We don't have in a lockbox to my knowledge, but we do have CDs, and we're sitting on some money. But I mean, it's there for the membership, and that's a whole nother bag of worms, because I have, you know, been fighting for the ways that we spend our money and disagreeing with some of the ways we spend our money. And so I've gotten a lot of kickback from people about that. And so, you know, I feel like if my individual local is sitting on a lot of money, we should probably spread the love to locals that don't maybe have as much opportunity to educate their members or organize, or, you know, we need to think about the bigger picture instead of just our individual locals sometimes.
I agree. There's plenty to go around with the fractional reserve banking scheme, but see, they won't do that. These money masters, they don't do that. They feed, it's a debt-based system, so you got to keep the poor, the servitude of the lower class constantly serving the upper class. And that's what the union does too. And it's wrong, you know, and that's where you're going to get disgruntled members and disgruntled people, and that's a ripple effect that we see in society and everywhere. It's in all aspects of our society. That's why I'm saying it's really, really the root of the whole entire evil that we have in this country. And it's really sad if you know.
Money is the root of all evil.
Steph, I think you're on a good idea there. Maybe we should donate our nifty new beanie hats to some of the locals that didn't get that.
I do want to make a correction on that, because everybody doesn't know the whole story, but we've had some issues at our local about using a union printer. And our financial secretary and I have been going back and forth about this union printer, who is actually not a union printer. And I finally found that out after 6 years. But I, at the union meeting, he said we were going to have a commemorative White Shirt Day gift for the membership. And I said, let's make sure we're using a union printer. I was being a smart aleck. I did find out that they didn't use that other printer for those hats. So I am taking back what I accused him of, because I was under the understanding at the meeting when I said, let's use a union printer. And he said, by the way, I won't mention their name, is now a union printer. I was under the impression he was going to use them for these gifts, right?
Right.
So I did my due diligence to find out who it was. And I have some questions about this other one too, because it's a union approved vendor, but they are actually sending the stuff to be printed somewhere else who is not a union printer. And I don't know if that is legal or not, but at least they're not using that other one.
Okay, you got another call. 810, you are on. 810-287, you're on.
Oh, okay. I wanted to speak about Stephanie, and I'm a little bit prejudiced. I've known her since she's 5 years old. But I want you guys to know that she's one of the hardest working people I've ever known. I've seen her knocked down in her life just to stand back up and keep on fighting. So you guys think about that when you're looking for somebody to be your president.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
That's a high praise. Very nice.
I need all of that I can get.
She's 5 years old. Boy, you know her pretty well then.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't tell him anything else.
I won't.
Chicken. Come on. We
That's
want
good.
All the dirt. Yeah.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate that.
Okay,
we had a lot of callers. Push one on your keypad if you'd like to join the conversation. Talk to our next, hopefully next president of UAW Local 598 and retirees. You can vote
here
in this election.
Here, here.
So
I'm glad you brought up the retirees because, you know what, I don't get a lot of opportunity to speak to the retirees. I'm at work when they have their meetings and that kind of stuff, and I look forward to being able to go to their meetings and getting to know them. And hopefully, you know, when I went down to the convention, that was the other thing that I noticed, that retiree chapter up there in the delegate section, I'd like to see some 598 retirees be up there.
Yeah. I tell you, there's a lot of us, And hopefully they're not having a meeting on the 20th.
They're not.
Good.
They're not. I think we nipped that one in the bud.
Yeah. Boy,
I would like it to be convenient for them to vote, you know, and it's on the same day, but they just need to hold the meeting somewhere besides the polling place. That's all.
Exactly. I was, what the hell is all these cars doing here? This can't be for the election. And this the auditorium was packed. Just packed. I said, oh, I can see what's going on here. I can see. Just like, I remember they hired a bunch of people on election day, and they were walking them through the plant right down the stairs by my job when I was in quality, right down the stairs, right into the polling place, and they all voted, every one of them. I said, oh, there you go, Scotty. What do you think of that?
Right.
Yeah. You remember that, Scott?
Yeah, that's when T-Bones and I were running.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I had a hell of a lot of appointed people, new appointed people, too, by the way. Don't forget that.
I can imagine.
They pull no stops when they want their boy in. They really they go beyond the call of duty to make sure.
I just, you know what, retirees realize that when they call a bunch of them and ask them to come up and vote, that's illegal. You know,
no.
You can't just grab the list of retirees from the hall and call them. That's, you know, you got to give that privilege to every single candidate. You can't just, and especially being an officer in the hall, that's really not kosher. But
sure.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Any retirees that got a phone call from 598 about this election, I would wish you would email me. Most of you got my email or phone number. Get in touch with me. I'd like to know. I know they're not going to call me or email me.
No, they probably know your name pretty well.
Yeah, pretty well. Johnny, I like Johnny. I never understood how you can be vice president and not ascend to the presidency. I thought that was just a gimme. You've got to do this. You have got to
go.
Know,
I got to wonder, what if something else happens to the president? Are we going to just keep holding elections so that Johnny doesn't have to be the president? I mean, at some point, you got to decide whether you're in it for the – I mean, to me, we should be training the vice president to take over for the president, and that's somebody who has that experience and education behind him.
Right.
And if he doesn't want that position, it concerns me.
I worked with Johnny for when he came to the plant, and great guy, really nice.
Always very nice.
Yeah. Very nice guy. And I said, oh, he's going to go. If he wants to, he'll go pretty far. And he didn't have no, you know, he wasn't trying for anything. So when I heard he was vice president, running for vice president, I said, oh, Johnny Johnson, got to be Jackson, you crazy. He smiles, all the women hang around him. I said, boy, he's in like Glenn. So,
right. I mean, you know, Johnny hugs the babies and smiles pretty and smells good and, you know, he just doesn't obviously have the aspirations further. And
on the door of the Union Hall, are we going to put Rappin' Riley or are we going to put Stephanie? We're going to have to come up with something.
They
We've got about 8 minutes and 30 seconds. 8 minutes and 30 seconds to go. So if you want to
How many seconds?
8, 19, now 18, 17.
Okay,
six.
Okay.
My little clock, Blog Talk clock is running. So,
Well, I sure appreciate everybody tuning in.
Well, anytime you want to do this again, you're more than welcome to before the election.
Thank
that'll
you.
Be fine. Yeah, it can't
It'll
be on
nice
Spirit.
To have it out there. They can replay it or whatever.
Sure, they can do that, or we can do another live show.
Sure.
That'd be fine with me. So it's up to you.
All right. I'll
I don't know if Scott gave you my phone number or not, but Scott, if you would like to her,
I will.
Please.
Awesome.
I'll do that.
Thank you.
I will pass that along.
I like pretty women calling me. I like that. Makes the old man feel kind of good, you know? Another thing on this contract I didn't like, and that was the 4.8 years you have to wait to open a contract. That didn't make any sense. We went from 3 to 4, now 4.8, right, Scott? Am I right about that?
I don't know if this will make you feel better or not, but I heard they're only doing it for this contract because they're trying to get everybody on the same time so that we all have contract time at the same time because we will have more bargaining power. And so once they establish that, they will go back to the 3 years.
Okay, and I hope it stays. I think it's in May. I'm not sure. What month is it? Well, instead of September, make it where, you know, if you have to walk the picket line, you don't freeze your butt off.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's going to be when it's warmer.
Yeah. So if we're changing things, that would be a change for the better. Too many times freezing my butt off out there.
You're here on that.
Scotty,
I haven't done it too much.
Well, my biggest fear is they're actually going to go for 5 years the next time around.
Yeah.
The membership agreed to 4.8, so now we can just move it to 5 years. That way we're still staying in the spring, but let's just go to 5 years.
Like Stephanie said, when he came out with his video about the contract, and the first thing out of his mouth was money. I knew that was it, money. That was... You know, the rest of it is not so good, but at least we still have tiers, but at least they're getting paid.
We still have tiers, but we are moving in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely.
And the other thing is that you guys, I don't really still fully understand all the appointments down in Detroit. Those appointed jobs are contractual. And I always thought, you know, most of those people were brought from the rank and file down there to be appointed, and that if they lost those jobs, they would just come back to the plants. And I'm finding out that they lose their seniority while they're in these jobs. Now, this is just that I've been, I don't even know if it's really accurate, but it's not really easy to go in and clean house. And so... there's a lot of roadblocks right now for reform as far as the committees and people who are appointed down there and stuff. And so what they're focusing on right now is organizing because they have complete control over that. And if they can get more companies organized, that brings more people into the fold. And when we go down to these contract conventions and that kind of stuff, we'll have more people on the side of reform. So they're trying to build that team up because they don't have really a lot of control over the other stuff, if that makes sense. This is what I've been told, because I've been trying out for the life of me. Why is it when I send an appeal down there, I can still tell that they're not really on the side of the membership? They're still siding with the leadership. And this is why, because we still have a lot of the same people there in place who were there before our newly elected leadership.
That's right. And people forget that. You know, Sean's only one person.
Right. Yep.
You were right about that. And believe me, they didn't want Sean.
Oh, they didn't want him. I saw that 100%. Nobody's going to convince me that otherwise.
No. Not at all. And Scott, what do you got? You got anything to add before we're done here in about 2 minutes and 51?
I think she did a great job tonight, and I think maybe another show if she can squeeze it in. If not, like she said, excuse me, we've got opportunities for people to listen to tonight's show. We've been doing this a long time, Don. And Stephanie, you know, it's hard to break this mold. I think you got a shot at it. I do. I think you're the right person for the job. And if that glass house gets cracked here in a few days, then you have accomplished a huge milestone. Huge. And
I appreciate that. I just want the membership to know that when I get elected, I'm going to need everybody's help to move forward and get the things done that I'm asking them to help me get done.
Right.
I'm just a person. This isn't a dictatorship, and I've got a big army to go up against.
Oh, yeah.
Well, to listen to the people and find out what they want done, too. I think that's a big part of who you are.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And Joseph, you were right what you were saying. Appreciate you calling, buddy. Now, Joseph
no problem.
Is running, and he's well, running against a black wall, too. So he knows how you feel. Believe me. But,
right.
We need,
you know, he was onto something a little bit, though. You know, because I'm not going to say that our local's corrupt. Are there some questionable things that have happened? Absolutely. But it does. It starts out at our local and goes from our regional down to Solidarity House. And like Stephanie says, there are remnants left of past caucuses that believe in the old way instead of the new way, which the new way is nothing more than the original old way.
Yeah, the new old way. The old new way.
There you go.
I was,
you know.
I know, I'm going, the old way, the old way is not what they're doing. The old way is, you know, no.
Right. We need to get back to our roots, and that is putting the membership first and foremost in everything that we do and every decision that we make.
100%.
Yeah.
Here, here.
All right.
Thank you for running, Stephanie.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'd do it over again if I have the opportunity. Hopefully I don't need to, but.
we'll do it over again in the next election, because you'll be running against nobody, because you'll be the president, see. Nobody's going to run against.
And if anybody out there can help Stephanie, reach out to her or email Don or, you know, just reach out to be able to help her campaign and get her face and name out there.
I need bodies at the gates in between shifts. I need people inside the plant campaigning. I need a couple more challengers. I'm up for it. You guys get a hold of me before Tuesday. I'd appreciate it.
There you go. And don't forget, retirees, put it on your calendar.
February 20th.
Yes, that'll be great. All right.
Thanks again, guys.
You're more than welcome, and We'll be talking
great
about
job,
you on
Stephanie,
Sunday.
Great job.
Yeah, you're a
thank
one
you.
Woman.
I love
show.
You guys. Solidarity.
Yeah, you bet. You bet, hon. Take care of yourself and be safe.
I will.
All right. That's
all right,
wrapping
good luck tonight.
Quickly. And believe me, Stephanie can do it. She can do a show all by herself, man. She was great. We went from, we were going to do an hour. Okay, we'll do, I put it for an hour and a half. I said, nah, you know, a little over an hour maybe. Then to 2 hours, and she carried it all. Very good. Very good. Now I got to play this for people are that download the show.
They're saying that these auto workers are not only highly paid, but these are high quality jobs.
Now, this is the Hyundai worker in workers in Alabama.
And so when you talk about a high quality job, you assume that that means the working conditions are good. Well, Kishelle Liggins, a quality inspector at Hyundai, said, Peggy Howard, who works on F1 final in General Assembly. She said, when you're injured, management pushes you back on the line too soon. I had a surgery on my rotator cuff in September, and I had to go back to work the last of December. Whoa. I didn't get the 2 weeks ramp up, and now I'm having pains all over again. I had cortisone injection 3 weeks ago, and I'm about to go back for another injection. If that doesn't work, the doctor told me he'll have to do the surgery over again. This is because she wasn't able to take the proper amount of rest. We need to make our jobs safer. We need the union. And then talking about, not only the safety, now talking about the time that this company is taking from these people. Kishelle Liggins, a quality inspector, said, here's when I knew I needed the union. My youngest son had a basketball game, and I scheduled a half day of vacation time. Someone was supposed to come to the line to relieve me, but no one came. Finally, I clocked out, and I missed the first quarter of his game. They still wanted to write me up for job abandonment. I had to go in front of team relations, and I explained what happened, that I was legit in having this personal day. And my group leader stopped me and said, this job is more important than your family.
Wow.
At that moment, I just froze. That was sickening. I knew things at Hyundai had gone too far. Luis Leon at Labor Notes has an article about this campaign as well. Luis Leon has been really writing kind of the definitive articles about the campaign as it progresses. So I recommend, obviously, subscribe to Labor Notes if you haven't. If you want to learn about the labor movement, you want to learn about the latest news in the labor movement, and you want to learn how to be a better union member, subscribe to Labor Notes.
Absolutely.
Obviously. And read Luis Leon. Hyundai workers roll the union on in Alabama is the article title. And they talked about how, you know, I just told you, 12, 13 cent raises every year. Not a whole lot. Temps making $11 an hour. Once the UAW stand-up strike began, grabbing headlines last fall, she and her coworkers, this is talking about a worker, started talking in earnest about a union at Hyundai, especially after the union notched a historic victory at the Big Three. Then the company actually threw money at us, Liggins said. Hyundai promised to raise wages by 25% over 4 years. So then Liggins said, so all we're doing is talking about the union, and we got this little money and began wondering what we could get if we actually tried to form a union.
Right.
And so here we are today. Absolutely. Absolutely. You get a 25% raise because you're talking about a union. Imagine what you can get if you actually get a union. Seriously. Think about it. So he, Luis kind of reiterates or talks about how the biggest issues are retirement security, favoritism, high rates of injury, and punishing schedules. And, I want to give you the schedule. Workers complain that Hyundai's six-day work weeks and last-minute schedule changes break up their weekends, leaving them overworked and demoralized. Managers routinely flip their schedules with little notice between days and nights or over holiday breaks.
Hold on, guys. In 3 seconds, we'll get back to it. It's only got about 6 more minutes.
Holiday breaks.
3 minutes.
Gilbert Brooks usually takes vacation days ahead of Martin Luther King Day, which is a company-paid holiday. On Tuesday, he reported back to work at his scheduled time, but because of the holiday, he didn't check the app and see that managers had called an early start. He didn't need to check if a worker's on vacation. The early startup notification isn't supposed to apply. Hyundai's manager still dinged him for being late, moving him to phase two of the disciplinary process. Wild stuff. At Hyundai, workers are required to maintain 99% attendance. If a worker dips below that percentage because they're late or absent, they're giving a verbal warning, talks about the progression. Hyundai has no sick days, with only 3 personal days. Regardless of years at the company, workers are bound to end up in a disciplinary process. Could you imagine that? Working for one of the most profitable companies in the world, and you only have 3 days off a year.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. But Governor Ivey has the gall to go around and tell these people, obviously these people know that it's not a high-paying, high-quality job. You know, she thinks they're stupid, but they're not that stupid, obviously. But she wants you and me to believe that because you and me don't have to work these schedules. We're not in those facilities, and so we don't know. And so maybe she's hoping that she can pull the wool over our eyes and hoping that we don't actually talk to these people and we don't actually read the reporting.
Oh, hold on for a minute. This Ivy is the governor of Alabama, and she is being allegedly what she said was $11 an hour is a high-paying job. I don't believe that. I think it's union bullshit, but, you know, that's how it goes.
She wants you to believe these people are stuck up and asking for too much, and they're greedy workers, and they don't deserve any more than they're getting.
Come on, dude. Come on.
So, again, really great reporting from Luis. Always appreciate his work. And, you know, victory to the UAW and down with the BCA and the political class behind them.
All right. That's the Hyundai workers in Alabama. They got a 30% card signed so far. So they're looking to join the UAW, which is, if I was in Hyundai working, I think I'd want the union too. But that's me. Okay, guys, that's it. Scott, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. Damn, Ron's gone. Joe, is Ron going to do his show tonight?
I have no idea.
No,
I have
know.
No idea.
I'll look for it. I don't even know. This
he had
third.
One last night. He had one last night, so he might not have one tonight.
Yeah, I went. I was listening anyway on my phone. After your show, as a matter of fact, I like who in the hell is in your chat room? Jesus.
Oh, I know, huh?
Oh, my God. The minute I got in there, I was a little late, and I got in there, the guy, I forgot even what his handle was. You knew he was
yeah,
a
yeah, Mike something. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe we'll all find right. A show light on later on tonight.
Sure, we'll see.
All right.
Hi, everybody.
Well,
all
it's
right.
Good that you're
good
feeling
night.
Better, too, Dan.
Yeah, I feel a lot better than I did yesterday. That was a bad day. All right. Thank you, Gene. Happy
you're
Valentine's
welcome. Day. Have a great night, everybody.
I tell you what, Stephanie is awesome. I really enjoyed the 2 hours. I tell you what, that went quick, too.
Yeah, it did. I'm late. I need to get over to trim.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. All right. I didn't even know Stephanie was still here. Oh, wow. That's nice. Okay, everybody. We'll go ahead. Scott.
I'll just say we have a good night. Steph, be safe.
Yes.
You too. I'll see you on
safe.
The floor.
Okay.
All right.
Nice, John.
Nice,
Gene.
Nice,
Scotty.
Good night.
Night.
Good night, everybody. Have a good and
hey,
safe
mama
time.
Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
Sunday night, Saturday.